This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by DigitalOcean. Simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code KNOWHOW in the billing section to get your $10 credit. On today's show,
know how to upgrade your FPV 150.
It's the TWiT show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballos here.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And for the next 30 to 45 minutes, we're going to be showing you some of the projects that we've been geeking out with so you can take them home and geek out on your own. Now, Brian, it's nice to be back in the studio.
It is. I feel a little rusty. Things look a little different now that we're back from NAB.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
You killed it, by the way. Lot of hours behind that switchboard.
You know, it gets easier when you are stuck to the seat for a longer period of time and you just start working the buttons.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you finally took my advice when I said, you know, the best way to TD is with a catheter.
Yeah. Well, it's like an astronaut suit.
It is, right? Right?
Yeah.
It's awesome like that.
Yeah. I felt like I was in space.
But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk a little bit about a project that we left about a month ago. It was a month that we completed Project FPV 150. Mm-hmm. You'll remember it was the tiny little quadcopter.
Little baby quad
that actually was pretty high capable. It could do some serious... Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, as janky as it looks.
The problem was we left it kind of jank, right? And
yeah.
I left it jank deliberately because I was like, look... We can clean this up.
You just want to make people feel better.
I want to make people... That flies. That's perfect. That's great. That actually does everything we needed to do, and it actually does it quite well, but It does have a little bit of the jank factor hanging off of it.
Yeah, it flies, but, you know, every time it flies by you, you hear it whisper, kill me, kill me.
Does it please you to see me suffer, Creator?
Yeah, exactly. So you brought it back,
we're
going to make it better?
We're going to make it better. If you look here, we've already stripped off the top deck. So this part where all the electronics are mounted, so everything from the receiver to the transmitter for the FPV system to the camera, were connected to that top deck or connected to the piece of foam that was here in the front of the quadcopter.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get rid of that because we think there's a better way to do it. Specifically, we think we can 3D print a deck that will have a way to hold the receiver and the transmitter and the FPV antenna and the FPV camera, but do it in a much nicer way without costing us a lot of weight.
No. I think the biggest cost would be having to buy a 3D printer to prototype this.
Yes. But we're assuming that they're becoming more and more prevalent. Prevalent. Yes, I said that right.
Well, we've got a couple now.
We've got a couple. And actually, one of the nice things is there are companies like MatterT that are putting printers into schools and libraries around the country.
Right, and there's also like what Aaron Newcomb's doing down in Benicia, where he has a makerspace, and you can come in and use their 3D printers and stuff like that.
And the way I look at this is, yeah, you could say, oh, well, I have to buy a 3D printer now, but really what you should be looking at this as, here's a project that's very easy to show off some of the big principles of designing and using a 3D printer.
Yeah.
Why not make the investment now?
Well, and like you've done before, you can make the models available so that if you go on the internet, you can either download them or order them from somewhere like Thingiverse, I think, or what's the one that where you can
Shapeways.
Print it? Shapeways, that's the one.
Yeah, Shapeways would be, I mean, it is more expensive, but the parts that come out of that are much, much nicer. They use a higher grade plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You can specify what kind of materials, and you can't tell that it was 3D printed. I mean, it's really nice.
Yeah.
But we work with what we got.
And I think it's, you know, a small investment for something that's as custom as this project. Wouldn't be that bad.
Right. All right, so let's look at what we did. The first thing we want to do is open up a 3D design program, a CAD program. Now, if you did watch our NAB special, you'll remember that Autodesk dropped by the booth, the Live View booth at NAB, and they said, look, our software is free if you're a student. So there's really no reason why you shouldn't just download Autodesk.
I'm a student of life. Does that count?
Yeah. Or they have Maya, they have 3D Max, and they also have Fire, which are great programs if you have a mind for content creation.
I need to wrap my mind around that because, I mean, I use Premiere, Photoshop, a little bit of Illustrator, and then that's about it.
Yeah. You know, actually, who would be really good at it?
Gregory?
Your bro.
Yeah, because we need to get him to do some projects with that stuff because he's the artist.
Yeah. But enough about that. Let's actually show you the software that we're using. This will look familiar. Alex, if you could go to my computer. This is Tinkercad. And the reason why we like Tinkercad is it's free and it's also available to anyone who has a browser.
It's free, and I feel like when I was using it, it was the easiest 3D space for me to wrap my head around. Like if you're not used to manipulating objects in a 3D kind of space, the way they have the software set up is pretty slick. It's just when you get into more complicated structures that you're like, oh, right, this is why I would want to use AutoCAD.
But what I like about starting with Tinkercad is it does show you why you want a more advanced CAD program.
Yeah.
Because you can do a lot of things here with shapes. And everything that we've created on KnowHow so far, be it the steampunk goggles or this top deck or, say, the Twit badge that we worked on was created with Tinkercad, not the more expensive or free, if you're a student, AutoCAD.
Or SolidWorks, I think, is the other one.
Precisely. But
iBookery was asking, is it easier than SketchUp? I think it's a lot easier than SketchUp.
It actually is a lot easier.
SketchUp feels like it was made for something else, and then they kind of funneled you into saying like, oh, you can do tiny models in it too. And it's
SketchUp is actually really, really good. It's a powerful program, but right now, because I've tried probably about 20 to 30 different suites, 3D design suites. By and far, Tinkercad for beginners, it is a great place to start because it's not as if you learn something from Tinkercad and then that knowledge will be lost when you move to a more advanced program. The same lessons that you picked up from Tinkercad you'll use in AutoCAD or the more popular CAD.
And everything's saved in the cloud, so I can switch computers. I can move from computer to computer and pick things up.
Precisely.
Anyway, continue.
Let's go ahead and show you a little bit of what we did. So we wanted to do a top plate integration. I've already loaded up because our connection here ain't so good. This is what it looks like. So when I'm talking about a top plate, I mean the deck, the thing on top of the quadcopter that the transmitter, the of the FPV system, the FPV camera itself, and the receiver are connected to. But I couldn't just make this a solid mass of PLA plastic because, remember, weight is a problem. I know that the top deck, the carbon fiber top deck of the FPV-150 weighs about 6 grams. So what I was looking for is something that would be either the same weight or just a little bit more, but I wanted it to be able to secure all those bits and pieces. Do you remember how bad it looked when we were just sort of like gluing the receiver on?
Yes.
Yeah, things were sliding around, right?
Zip tying everything. Yeah.
So we've done a few things here to make that not happen. You'll notice, first of all, that there's, that's the jank piece. you'll notice there's this long piece that runs all the way back. It actually runs on both sides. That's actually incredibly important. Even though that's only 1 millimeter thick, what it gives us is it gives us the ability to have a single member. It basically turns this entire top deck into a rail. It's an unbelievable amount of strength with just a tiny bit of weight added, and it's much better than trying to have a solid piece. Because you'll notice there's so many cutouts.
Yeah, so is that mostly to save weight, or is that so that you can hook up stuff?
That's both? Mostly to save weight. Now this, I cut this out because I wanted a place where the hump of the FPV transmitter. Actually, if you go to the side view here, Alex, this is the FPV transmitter. You'll notice, actually, we've got an action cam. Let's action cam this thing. Whoa!
Action cam,
focus.
Slow down.
Focus, action cam. Action cam?
Action cam!
Come back, action cam!
Action cam has had too much caffeine.
Yep. You'll notice there's this little hump here. I wanted that to sort of fit down into the frame so that it would be held securely. I didn't want this thing sliding around. One of the worst things you can have on a quadcopter is weight that slides back and forth as you make maneuvers.
And then that'll make it'll have to adjust for that. Right,
because what happens is you go into a turn and everything slides the other direction, and suddenly you have to bank the turn harder
to calibrate
to counter that weight. And now that's unbalanced. Yeah, you don't want that.
Okay.
So everything should stay secure. So that little bump.
When you say that, the best example that I could think of is that the beer lifting quad that you did.
Yeah.
And you could see as the weight
it did not like
was
that,
counterbalanced, it was trying to fight it, but
Yeah, it exactly. Lost. Now, that was an extreme case because that weight was all the way below, so it really allowed the center of gravity to shift. But even at a small level, when I'm dealing with a quadcopter I want to do precision moves with, I cannot have any of my weight sliding around, especially with something that only weighs 200 grams.
Right.
Even if it's a gram or 2 grams, that's a significant weight that's moving in the wrong direction.
Okay. So this will help secure that.
Yeah. So if you go back, I also wanted something that can hold the receiver. Remember, the receiver in the old bottom plate or the old top plate, it was just held in place by a piece of double-sided foam and a zip tie. But there was no place, there was no way to make sure it didn't move. What this rail does is it gives me a channel against which the receiver is supported. It cannot move past that rail. It'll be held snugly against the deck.
Good.
Okay. Now, the other parts, of course, there's, I didn't need any of this weight here. Mm-hmm. I could have just left it like that, but then that would add a gram of plastic, of PLA, and that's not really giving me any structural integrity. The structural integrity comes from the rails.
Right, and you're not going to be attaching anything to the side there.
Precisely. But I also did this. You'll notice on the sides, there's going to be these tiny little cutouts. And that's not just to save weight. That's so that I can put a zip tie cleanly through it to hold down the pieces.
Okay. A little slot for the zip tie.
And then there's this. You'll notice in a couple of places we have just these holes. Now, this is a mounting hole. This is so that I can have a place that it will actually screw into the existing frame.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, that's just to save weight. Again, that's one of those things where there's no structural integrity involved.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want that plastic there. Same thing here. This little column of empty cylinders here.
Yeah.
That's just to get rid of that plastic because I don't need it. I need a tiny bit of plastic because I want something the receiver can rest against.
Right.
But I don't want so much that it's weighing down my craft.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there is one other thing that I did here, and that is, you'll remember in the original FPV 150, if you go back to that video, Alex, if you'll notice, yeah, go to the start of that. Look how the camera is being held in. It works. That totally works.
Yeah, it works, but should it exist?
No, it should not. That was just a super cheap piece of foam that we stuck the camera to. It does help to dampen the vibrations and does keep it pointed in the right direction. But A, it's ugly, and B, you know, after a couple of flights, it's probably the tolerance will probably loosen up a little bit. Not great, right?
Okay. So yeah. Do you have a 3D printed solution?
I do. Go back to my thing here. If this front, that's not to remove weight. That's because I'm going to put little dampeners, these little rubber balls.
Oh, yeah.
That will allow me to attach another platform, and that platform will be attached to the camera.
Okay. Yeah, because we've used these little rubber grommets for, holding the GoPro and stuff on our 450 quad. And stuff.
Precisely, yeah. We'll show you them in a bit. Now, there are people in the chat room who are saying they want some mass on the port and starboard. This is Chumley. Probably not the weight. Hollow those out. So what you could do, and this is what we're hoping that you'll do, is take the STL files, because they're already available online. They will be available as soon as Brian posts the notes. Download them and take out what you don't think you need.
Customize it.
Yeah, like for example, go ahead and go back, Alex, to my computer. You could probably put holes all the way along this rail, small holes.
Well, you also have to consider how the 3D printer is going to print it.
Precisely. That's why I didn't do it. But if you've got a really good 3D printer that can do arching really well, you could probably remove another gram or gram and a half from this top deck.
Okay. Yeah.
Now let's this is proof in the pudding. We know that the top deck weighs 6 grams. That's the deck from this one. So if you just took the straight frame piece, that's about 6 grams.
Yeah.
Stock deck. So our 3D printed piece is about that one's expensive. That one's heavy. I need the one that I actually printed for this. Which would be...
Looks like you did a few prototypes, huh?
So this is the finished version running
six
at 6 grams. So this is just about the same weight as the old plate. Now, it will be a tiny bit heavier because I'm also adding the ball and the platform for the camera.
Half
so adds
of
another
what
gram.
This weighs, yeah.
Yeah. But what I get with this piece is something that is both incredibly strong...
Yeah.
But also will make my installation look less jank, and that's what we're going after.
No, this looks good. I like this.
All right. So let's go ahead and let's put this together. You've seen how I put it to how I built the model. Again, we're going to make the STL file available to everybody. So if you think you can do it better, go ahead and take my design and improve it. There are a lot of ways to make it lighter and stronger, Or I know there's going to be a few of you who just want to add on things like platforms for LED lights, which is something we're going to be doing.
Oh, put a, what is it, the Luma light?
Yeah.
The little, it looks, we'll get to that.
That's a secret. First of all, for people who feel bad because maybe they didn't do this themselves, I'd like you to go ahead and go to the wide shot overhead, Alex. These are some of the... I've gone through a couple of revisions.
Your prototypes are bad, and you should feel bad. Actually, these all look pretty good.
They all look pretty good. Like, but for example, this one had all the mounts. What do I got here, Alex? Had all the mounts to hold down the transmitter and the receiver, but it weighed a lot. And notice how it's flexing because
you don't have that rail all the way down.
Yeah, so that would be a natural breaking point. I went with super light, but then this is not much better than the top deck. It came with.
There's
nothing to fasten it to. Mm-hmm. And look, it actually twists. Then I started getting a bit trickier, and I did something like this, but you'll know, I don't know if you can see it, but right here, the rail actually diverges a little bit. There's like a little break.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, why not just get rid of that? Instead of 2 millimeter rail, I'll use 1 millimeter rail, and is
just
what we got to.
Go all the way down the board, yeah.
So we'll take these and brush them off.
I'm impressed at how strong this feels, too. Like, this right here feels like it would break off, but, this feels solid.
Yeah, and that, you know, I left those on for a reason, and you'll see in a bit, because when we put the receiver in there, you kind of want the deck to cover the receiver all the way. You don't want the receiver sticking out.
Oh, in case you do crash damage?
But also, it's just not a really good way to secure anything.
Yeah, sure.
Just have it, it's laying out in the
middle. Just put more hot glue on it.
Actually, I've done that. Okay, all right. So let's get our frame, and let's go ahead and put things together. So I'm not going to fly this FPV, and the reason why I'm not going to fly an FPV is because of what we're going to be doing in the third segment of this show. Super secret. Okay. But I'll show you how all the FPV components would actually mount. The first thing we would want to do is we would want to take this. This is the little vibration dampening frame that we've made. I've already gone ahead and put the rubber balls on one side. So what I would do is I would take this along with the camera. I would mount my camera like so.
A little sticky tape.
I actually created another 3D object that would hold it in more securely, but I've flown it around a lot with the sticky tape. It was fine, and this is 3 grams lighter, so I went with this way. There's two ways to mount this. You can mount it overhead like so, and what that does is it gives you sort of a higher view of your flight. You could also mount it underneath. I actually prefer this a little bit because it gives me a bit more room for the accessories up top.
Okay. Is that angle going to be okay?
Well, you change the angle. So I've got multiple versions of this at different angles. So this is total beginner. This is I'm just flying to find out how I do FPV flying. And as you get better and better, that angle will be angled back.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, but I'm going to leave that off. I'm going to go ahead and put the transmitter in. My original idea on this was I wanted to put it like this. Wait, where's that? I wanted to put it like this, which is really, really clean. There's even a cutout at the bottom so that the antenna fits a little bit better. You see that right there? It's the notch out. The problem with doing it this way is it's neat, it's clean, but there's a button here that allows me to change the channel. And there's this array of LEDs that show me what channel it's set for. So if it's underneath...
You can't access that.
So I ended up having to put it up top. It works just as well up top. And let me show you how much better this works than the old way of just sticking it to the top deck. Because I designed that piece to sort of hug the pack of the transmitter, and because I created these little slots on the side for putting zip ties through, it makes it so much easier. Let me show you.
Here come the zip ties.
Here comes the fun.
You know you're having fun once you bust out the zip ties.
Exactly. I mean, zip ties, fun, synonymous. Duh.
That and duct tape.
Okay, now we're in a weird place. Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate that, bro. That was good stuff.
Duct tape fixes everything.
Yeah. You're digging. You're digging. Duh. All right, so let's get this here, and then where's my tools? I'm going to go ahead and snip off the excess because I don't want it to look jank this time.
Ow!
There we go. So the nice thing about that is that's not sliding anywhere. I mean, it's actually inside the frame. So as long as that zip tie doesn't let loose, That's not going anywhere. You could jiggle this frame all you want. That transmitter's not going to pop out.
Looks pretty solid.
And it also gives me a place to do that. So when I'm finished, I'll hook up the antenna, and now I have the antenna sticking straight off the top of my frame.
Right. And now because you have that little cutout below, you can actually screw it in pretty easily.
Yes. So, I mean, and remember, this came after multiple revisions because I would create something and I would assemble it. I'd go,
I
don't like that. You know, it makes it hard to install that. So you change the frame. All right. So that's the top. Let's go ahead and do the bottom. What we need is we need to install the... Actually, you know what? Can you shift that over this way a little bit? What we need to do is over here. So make this the center.
Right,
we want to install the receiver in the little sort of channel that we've created right here, which will allow us to this. See, it's actually a perfect fit for that. Now you may be wondering, well, what do we do with the antennas? Remember how ugly the antennas were last time?
Yeah,
we ain't doing that this time. So that's why we have this. So it allows us to push the antennas through these little utility holes.
Yep.
Do the same thing here. We're going to sort of cinch this down a little tiny tad like so.
And then zip tie it?
And then zip tie it.
Okay.
Because zip ties are your friend, Brian.
So, yeah, I'm curious to see what you're going to do because you could have just incorporated little bars that come up to incorporate the antennas.
I could have, but did I?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Let's find out, Brian.
Is that what those little rails at the back are
Maybe
for?
Maybe that's what those rails are for.
My goodness.
I know. It's almost as if I thought this one through.
This frame is full of surprises.
Like my lunchbox. All right.
Whoa.
Easy
there.
Let's clip that off. Hold on.
I'm going to stand back again. Yeah, that hit. Jeez, man.
I get velocity with that. That's pretty good. All right. So, again, because of those rails, it's held in place. It's not going to move around. It's not going to jiggle. Even in an impact, unless the zip ties break, nothing's going to move around on this frame. Now, the question is, well, what do I do with these antennas? They're kind of flopping around. Well, that's why I created these little rails here. They're actually going to be held like so.
Okay.
Now, you might be saying, wait a minute. What, you're going to glue it?
How would you attach it? Zip tie these?
No. I have something that's much better, Brian. It's this.
What is this, heat shrink?
Heat shrink tubing. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little bit of clear heat shrink, and we're going to wrap it around the antenna and that little plastic spike that I created to hold it there. So I don't need that much. I just need about yay much. I need two pieces because I've got two antennas. There we go. Right.
And then did you bring your little blowtorch with you?
I did. So you take this, you put it around the antenna, and then you put it around that little piece of plastic that's sticking
out the
back.
Okay, that's pretty clever. I like that.
Right?
And it actually kind of makes it look like it has little engines coming off the back of it.
I was kind of going for, maybe these are like ion thrusters or something.
Yeah, it's the Enterprise.
All right, so what I'm going to do is, you should use a heat gun for this, but...
Do you want to wait until you've assembled everything, or...?
No.
I guess not.
I want to make this more difficult. Come in. Hey.
All right.
Really, use a heat gun. It's so much more accurate.
Then what would you recommend?
I'm using a lighter.
Yeah.
I'm using Burke's lighter.
So don't... Yeah, this is what he uses to light his cigarettes, huh?
I'm nice. Spraying essence of Burke all over my quadcopter.
Ew, but it's working, so... Or should I say it's Burking?
It's Burking! There we go.
That's awesome.
Okay.
They look like little engines.
Now, you will notice I have this little bit of excess wire. I could get rid of it, but I actually kind of like it up there. I don't know. It's a design thing. If you really want to get rid of it, what you can do is elongate these a tiny bit more and then push the antennas further back.
Yeah, you could thread it underneath maybe, too.
Right. I wanted this adjustable because... when you add the camera to the front, you still want this thing balanced. And then rather than moving the battery back and forth, you can just move the antennas a tiny bit back to balance out any weight on the front.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would want to wait until you have your balance and then shrink it down. So that's not completely shrunk down, but, I mean,
that's pretty firm.
That's pretty solid. That's pretty firm. And it looks a whole lot better than having a bunch of zip ties just sort of popping off the back of your... Yeah. So that was the old one. That's how it looked.
Yeah. No.
And now we've got ion engine.
Yeah, this drone. Looks way more streamlined.
Okay. And then, you know, again, we're not putting the camera in here. So once we're done, all we have to do is screw everything in like so. And we will have ourselves a complete quadcopter.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, I would suggest that you take the files that we're going to give you and think about perhaps making a bottom plate for this as well.
We already have a bottom plate.
We have a bottom plate, but some of you are going to break it.
True.
And it's nice to be able to have a way to replace your parts immediately without having to wait for something to arrive in the mail.
And maybe there's a better way to mount the battery. Because you still planning on having the battery on the bottom?
Yep.
And we don't have any, like, landing gear or anything.
Nope. But if you 3D printed, you could custom create yourself a little bit of landing gear. And remember, when we finished this project, we had, like, 20 grams to play with. And that was using the heavier battery.
Yeah, right.
So we could have up to 70 grams to play with. That's a lot of weight for us to add features. In fact, we're going to be doing a parting shot later on showing you what a member of our audience has done.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so this is our little quadcopter. And look how much nicer that looks than the original version. And again...
kill me.
Yay. Does someone kill me? And this will have a stabilized camera platform. It will be far more impact resistant. And you know, one of the important things is if something breaks on this frame at medium quality actually took me about 6 minutes to print. So it's nothing. I can print myself up a bunch of these.
Not bad at all.
And then I add accessories as I want to increase the capabilities of my craft.
If there was any part that I think would break on the top frame, though, I think these would probably go first.
Right.
If they went... Yeah. But maybe there's a way we can strengthen those.
Now, Brian, here's the fun thing. You know, one of the things that has been asked of us is we'd like to be able to fly this indoors, like you fly a SEMA.
Yeah.
Which you can because it's nice and small.
It's true.
But the issue is it's not as safe to fly as, say, a SEMA.
No, but it would be a lot more fun to fly than a SEMA. And
yes.
If we make an obstacle course inside.
And maybe, just maybe, I've also created another 3D printed part that could make it as safe as a SEMA to fly indoors.
But would it weigh more than 250 grams?
No, it wouldn't. How about that? When we come back, we are going to take a look at that project. I've got a way to make this a indoor safe FPV-150. But before that, you know what? Let's go ahead and go back to NAB. Because at NAB, we did have a chance to speak with Colin Gwynn of 3DR. We spoke with him last year at NAB, and he told us about the Solo. He let us fly it a little bit. Fantastic piece of equipment. He's got a couple of updates. So, Alex, without further ado, why don't you go ahead and push the magic button. How has it been this last year? Because I know you've had to really sort of refine the technology. What has 3DR been busy at the last 12 months?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, so first, thanks for having me on the show. It's always good to chat. And I can say that it's been an exciting year. We bit off a big challenge.
Yes.
in trying to create something that's not just another Me Too drone. We wanted to make sure that there was an accessory bay. Mm. We wanted to make sure that there was a gimbal bay, that it didn't just, you know, have a built-in camera, one single camera. We wanted to make sure the battery wasn't captured so that there could be, you know, slightly different shapes if needed. And what that allowed for is for us to start working with other partners. So, you know, this year the story is all about, hey, last year we announced the product and we said we're going to make this better and better. And this is just the very beginning because we've got these powerful Linux computers on board. We've got a powerful Linux computer in your hand. And those two computers work together to kind of drive the entire experience. And, you know, now we're actually starting to utilize a lot more of that because, you know, so Kodak has a new 360 virtual reality rig set up. So there's actually a 360 camera on top and bottom. And then it stitches out all the props and legs, so you have a full, perfect spherical view with no dark spot anywhere. We've got the FLIR view working on a gimbal that's commanded by our onboard computer. So now you can do smart shots and orbits and multi-point cable cams. So if you're doing, you know, certain types of search grids and things like that, working with the FLIR camera instead of just visual. Same thing, we're integrating with Parrot's new Sequoia for NDVI and multispectral. We're working with Sony. We just released very recently a new camera called the RC10C with Sony, which is, you know, an APS-C size sensor, 20 right. megapixel right. imager for high quality photomosaics, and that's on the imaging side. Then you've got, you know, super bright LED lights from Felix that, you know, come by our booth. There's some videos of what you can do.
That's
with
a new
the light.
Use case that we're
it's
seeing here at NAB.
Very MVP. Cool.
You,
yeah.
The ability to basically have a light tower that you can hover exactly where you want it, and you get perfect lighting even in the middle of the night.
That's right. You combine that with a tether, and now you can put a light up in the air for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. No problem. We flew that solo on a tether for 43 days straight. Kept okay. it in the air.
Yeah, all right. That's proven,
you know,
tech.
It's, yeah. It, you know.
There are some people who might say that the greatest strength of the solo is also the one that keeps it in development for so long, which is we see drones that might be cargo drones that you can strap a camera to, or they might be camera drones that you might be able to modify for cargo, but they're definitely created for a specific purpose.
Exactly.
Whereas the solo, the most ambitious part was this idea of the accessory bay.
Yes.
I want to give you a bare bones platform with high capabilities that has a mission computer that you can tell what the drone should be doing. And then you strap on the module, whatever it's going to be, the PTZ for the camera, or the cargo bay holding the FLIR, or the extra battery that's going to, you know, light up 10,000 lumens of light from LED sources.
That's right.
But in doing that, you've essentially guaranteed that you will never reach the end of development.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point of it, is that we didn't want to look at it as a, you know, one and done type deal. Okay, whatever we can finish by this date, solo is what solo is. Now let's hurry up and start on solo two. It was like, okay, we have solo done to a point where, and it was this striking the balance between ready to fly out of the box and simple, completely, you know, built out of the box. There's no construction necessary, you know, like your kind of do-it-yourself home kits where you can put different payloads on. You know, the use cases for drones are going to be expanding beyond what we know even people are going to want to do with them, right? And, you know, so we wanted to have a platform that would be flexible enough to be used for, you know, agriculture and you know, construction and you know, creating 3D models or photo mosaics. But then maybe you take it on the weekend and get some nice looking video of your vacation, you know. So it's something that can be used, just like you said, it's the Lego of drones. So you can, you know, really customize it to whatever your use case is. And, you know, and that's kind of our, you know, our segment of the market, right? I mean, I tell customers and I tell our resellers all the time, you know, there's no one drone that solves it all. And so right. I'm not going to say Solo's the best drone. It's just Solo might be the best drone for certain use cases. If somebody walks into your store and says, I just want a drone to fly around in my backyard and see from the sky, well, Solo might be overkill for them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of low-cost drones that are just have a camera and fly around. You get a nice live feed, and they're a great deal, you know. But if somebody's wanting to, you know, come in and say, look, I want to do work with my drone. I want to create content. I want to create shots, and I want to move on to the next location. Okay, well, that's Solo, and that's what we're really developing for, is people that are using their drone more for a purpose.
You should have multiple drones. You should have your first drone, which is the nearly indestructible yes. one, because yes. you have to learn how to fly. Then get yourself a slightly more capable drone, maybe a racing drone, which is going to be different than the drone that carries your camera.
Yes.
And I think you're absolutely right. Anytime a manufacturer comes out and says, this is the only drone you need,
yeah.
inevitably they're wrong.
Yeah.
But Solo's coming out and saying, hey, you know what? Once you've grown up past the toys and you want to do some work, we've got a platform that we think you could, if you've got the skill and the inclination, you could make it do exactly what you want it to do.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. Is that, you know, if you have the inclination and you're willing to say, okay, what combination of hardware can I use? Like, wow, I can pair this new smart shot with this right. tether, with this new sensor, and I can accomplish exactly what I'm looking to accomplish without having to go out and try to get some custom thing developed. And so, yeah, it just keeps getting more flexible, literally, every month. And there's a lot of hardware partners we're working with right now that we have aren't showing their stuff at the show this year because it's a few months out still.
Right.
But there are lots of software and lots of hardware that's still being worked on that will be coming out throughout the course of this year that's just going to keep making Solo more powerful. You know, I can say that, you know, it's going to be another calendar year until there's a whole new platform. You know, right. we are going to keep making Solo better.
I'm speaking with Colin Gwynn from 3DR. He is, I think their best advocate. He is the man who has grown up with drones. He has really started this industry back with your previous company, who we won't mention. You can Google it if you like.
It's fine.
You've been at the forefront of the cutting edge of drone technology as it's made the transition from oddity to real commercial useful tool.
Sure.
Could you please tell our audience where they can find out more about the Solo, where they can find out more about 3DR, and definitely where they might be able to finally see one, to try one, to look at the capabilities?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. So 3DR.com is a good starting point. Our website, 3DR.com, you can check out the Solo there, see lots of different videos. What we really like is for, customers to go in and talk to somebody about it and see it in person. And so we've taken, having a good retail presence worldwide very seriously. And so we've got these really cool point of sale kiosks that actually have a simulator built in, and you can fly the Solo in the store, in this simulated environment. And, there's different buttons that play the different videos that really try to educate the customer about what this platform is. And so, Best Buy's, REI, Dick's Sporting Goods, Cabela's, all camera shops, B&H, Adorama, Precision, Sammy's, all over the camera chains. Obviously, hobby shops carry them as well. Really, we're kind of all over the place. But you can start at 3DR.com and do the dealer locator, find out, somewhere that's in your country or your area where you can go see one in person.
I'm actually really interested in that tethered drone idea. And actually, mm-hmm. People in our Google Plus group thought about that first. How difficult would it be to go up 400 feet, so right to the limit of responsible flying,
mm-hmm.
and
the
then
tether.
Have a high enough gauge cable so that you could supply voltage, supply
right.
power to it, so it could stay up indefinitely.
Right. I like that idea. And then you could, bounce signals off of it, or just have, a little satellite drone that you're just scanning the landscape with.
It would be awesome to send up, a little signal repeater. It mm-hmm. becomes, an instant cell phone tower. If you could do something like that with something like this, it becomes part of your emergency kit. It's like, I'm getting no signal. Poof.
Okay, I've got four bars now. I'm going to make a call.
Yeah. Something else that I didn't realize that this was what the chat room was referring to, but you're right. These little antenna things, they mm-hmm. kind of look like warp nacelles. So I'm
exactly.
wondering, we should turn this into the Starship Enterprise.
We should, yeah. Put little blue strips on the sides there.
Oh, gosh. You should. I hate this because now I'm going to be spending all my time creating that. All right. Well, folks, when we come back, we're going to go ahead and show you the safety mods that we've made to the FPV 150. Again, we are making the files available to you so you don't have to create them on your own. You can just download and print. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank the sponsor of this episode of Know How. Now, Brian, when we were at NAB, mm-hmm. one of the things that became very obvious is you need a way to get your projects out in the world.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are, how good of an engineer, how good of a designer. If you don't have your service, your app, your art, your portfolio out on the internet, mm-hmm. people just don't know.
Right. And it always seems like a kind of an overwhelming thing. You just want to be able to focus on the content that you're working on and not having to deal with a bunch of different loopholes that you have to jump through.
Precisely. Precisely. But luckily, we live in the current age. And in the current age, it's easy. There are no loopholes that you have to jump through. There are no shortcuts that you have to take because it's all easy. That is, if you use DigitalOcean. Now, DigitalOcean is a different way of getting onto the internet. They use what are called droplets. They're containers, a way for you to take your service, your app, your Minecraft server, your website, whatever it might be, and encapsulate it into a software bubble that can be run on any of their pieces of infrastructure. Now, what that gives you is a way to instantly get your website, your service, your portfolio, your whatever onto the internet, and to scale it as necessary. You could start with just a couple of CPUs, just a few SSDs, just a few hours of operation to test out your service, and then you can expand it into a global operation. Now, DigitalOcean is used by over 600,000 developers, including Randall Swartz, including Aaron Newcomb, and including myself. You can deploy and configure your droplets via a streamlined control panel or a simple API, and you get to choose your OS, Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, CoreOS, and FreeBSD. You can select from one of the many pre-configured one-clicks like Drupal, Docker, or Node.js. You can get up and running quickly, or if you need to, you could build the exact infrastructure that you need with root access to servers running 100% SSDs in state-of-the-art data centers around the world. Again, it's highly scalable to meet the demands of a rapidly growing application or business. You start with just a few hours of operation to make sure that it's going to survive real-world use, and then you open it up to the world, across all regions, with the slide of a configuration switch. They've also got an extremely active community with a large and detailed set of tutorials and all the ways that you can use your Droplet. Now, this is one of the things that I look for whenever I'm shopping for a service, because if the customers of that service are coming back, if they're active in the forums, if they're participating, if they're trying to help newbies, it means that they love the company. It means that they love the service. It means they're going to be around for a while, and that's exactly what you get with DigitalOcean. It's so easy to get started. You can deploy an SSD cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. DigitalOcean has incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing, with their servers starting at just $5 per month. There's also hourly pricing available, starting at less than a penny per hour. But we're going to make it so that you can get started today and deploy your SSD cloud server for free. Just visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. Once you confirm your email and account information, go into the billing section and enter the promo code KNOWHOW for a free $10 credit. That's plenty to get started and explore what DigitalOcean can do for you. Again, that's DigitalOcean.com, DigitalOcean.com. And once you sign up, enter the code KNOWHOW in the billing section to get your $10 credit for free. We thank DigitalOcean for their support of KNOWHOW. Hey, Brian.
What's up?
Let's get safe.
All right. How safe are we going to get?
Not really.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Okay, this is a prototype mod. So, again, I was mentioning while the mics were off that there is about 50-50 chance of shrapnel.
Right. So why not test it here first?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to fly it over all of the staff members.
Yeah. This is the best test bed.
Now, we did hear from people who they wanted to try their FPV, but they were FPV 150, but they were afraid to take it outdoors because it is really small.
Right.
And
could get away from you very easily.
Yes. And it can be a little bit daunting. The first time you put on the goggles, there's occasionally you panic because, like, you might bump something and suddenly you think, oh my gosh, there's something behind me, but I can't see it.
Yeah, you lose all peripheral vision.
You do.
And also if the signal cuts out for just even if it's just a split second, you get that black screen. It's kind of heart attack inducing.
It is. And, because you don't know. Oh my God, it may only be half a second, but it feels like an hour because you're thinking, it could happen to anyone.
And just if you have flown drones in the past, not having that visual connection when you're standing looking up at the drone, that does not help.
No,
it's anxiety inducing.
Not at all. Yeah. So what we've done is we have figured out a way to turn this into a much safer drone indoors. Because, again, the only issue is going to be these props. It is small. It's lightweight. Mm-hmm. So even if it hits something, it's probably not going to cause that much damage. Definitely nothing like an Alien X with, 8-inch props, carbon fiber.
Right.
That's bad.
That's a lot more mass. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we wanted something that we could equip this with that can be easily connected, that can be easily taken off when someone's done with training on the inside, right. And also that didn't put us over our weight limit. Remember, we had about 20 grams to play with, right?
Right.
Okay. So what we came up...
Bubble wrap. No.
Close. Kind of like bubble wrap. If you go to my computer, Alex, this is Roberto from Futurama.
Ha-ha, Red.
Don't weld me to the wall, Mommy. Actually, no. Okay, this super simple design. All we have is we have a box. I use the exact same mounting holes that I used when I made my top deck. So this was actually cut straight from the top deck, so I know it will fit. Again, I've used a bunch of blank spaces in order to cut out excess plastic, because remember, I want to make this as light as possible. These circles are exactly the size that I need for 3-inch straight props. So I'm running 3-bladed props, which are slightly shorter, but this will fit the larger props. Actually, Alex, go ahead and go back. And then what I did was I went ahead and added this big blank cylinder inside to hollow it all out. This is something that you can change because the actual size of this... hold on. Let me do that and that. Mm-hmm. The size of this cylinder, the external cylinder, will actually determine how big your ducts are.
Okay.
So I actually made them, I think, like 4 millimeters high. You could make them a lot higher. I've seen people do a design like this that extends down into the blades.
Yeah.
So you kind of duct the blades.
Okay.
It makes them more efficient, but at the same time, you're also adding more weight. So it's up to you.
Could you use them as, like, landing gear, too? Probably not.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, because there's nowhere to really mount it on there.
Right. But if you go back to the design, Alex, so something else you'll see is I added this right in the middle here. because I wanted there to be a little bit of strengthening. I didn't want too much weight.
Those things would snap off like nothing without any.
Exactly. Because remember, the only thing that's holding them is this right here, this piece, that piece, and that piece. Surprisingly, it's actually pretty dang sturdy.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah. So this is what they look like in real life.
Let's crash them into something.
I printed up two sets. Notice I'm actually having a little lifting problem with my printer right now.
No.
It especially happens on smaller parts because, you know, there's not a whole lot to hold them down.
Right.
So I will have to look at my printing process a little bit. But it works just the same.
Okay.
Now, you'll notice I've got these circles, and what they're going to do is they're going to be placed over the top of my quadcopter, and they will keep the blades from readily coming into contact with anything it bumps into.
Yeah, I guess. I don't. They don't look like
you don't
they're
going to
protect that much. Yeah.
Well,
I can still see this going straight into my eyeball.
Out. Well, yeah. I mean, if you fly at full speed into a wall, that's no good.
Okay. It's just if you like kind of graze something, it'll protect the prop.
Precisely. Okay. And the idea is not so much that it's going to be a great protection. It's that if it does hit something, it will lessen the blow.
Yes. These are great. I like these.
Stand back. I gotta practice my stabbing.
You're really helping. Oh,
thank you.
Now, if you
Stop
do this,
around, Red.
I would suggest. See, I'm using the stock screws that came with this, which are M2s. I would suggest getting some longer M2s mm-hmm. because I am going through extraordinary thickness, both this and the top deck.
Yeah.
You know, it could use a little extra length to make sure it stays in there.
Okay.
But mounting it is pretty simple. You remove the screws, then you put them over their mount holes, and just put them back in.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like putting prop guards on a DJI.
Have you tested these before?
I have.
And they haven't, like, ripped or stripped the screws out? Or?
Not on this one.
Not on this one, yeah.
But on the original one, out. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Ripped them out. I actually did order some M2s. I was hoping they would be here by now. They're not. So I'm going to go ahead and say, and this is super dangerous because we're going to fly this in a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's no, I don't have any Loctite blue. So these could vibrate free and they could be a total
mess. We have given
mess.
Nobody a warning
there's
either.
There's no warning. Yeah. By the way, death in the air. Just FYI.
They don't seem that concerned.
Kind of like fire in the hole.
kind of like fire in the hole, except this could pierce your skull. And so if it does kill someone, I think we can say that we need another prototype. Right? Is that what we're doing?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, deal.
Well.
I'm there.
This is the best way to test.
Something else I should mention is I did not make these really thick. So if – go to the overhead, Alex. If you get enough deflection, so if you hit something really hard
– it'll bounce into
the
blade.
It actually will bounce into the prop. So – I could work on that. But look, see, this is, look at
that's
this. This is kind of cute,
though.
Right? Look
yeah.
at that. Oh,
look at that little guy.
There's a spinning drone. All right, so let's fly this.
This is so that, you know, when you're flying at your mom's house or something, she'll believe, like, oh, yeah, this looks
it's
reasonably
totally safe. It's totally safe, Mom. I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, can't hurt myself.
The other thing I thought about doing. And actually, this would help with the strengthening of it,
mm-hmm.
is if you made, like, a little bubble over the top.
Yeah.
Then it actually is kind of protected. The other thing is if you do print yourself on a large enough printer bed, mm-hmm. you could combine the frame, the top deck, with this.
And
that would be so much stronger.
It would be, yeah.
So much stronger. Just my print surface isn't big enough.
Yeah.
So let's get a battery. I need this because we have to hold the battery pack.
This is what people tune in for. It's just to see if we screw up.
There's like a 55% chance of serious injury right
now. We've crunched the numbers.
We've crunched. Well, hey, look, we work tirelessly to bring you entertainment that sometimes is deadly. That's because we love you.
Yeah.
Right? We wouldn't do this if we didn't love our audience.
Mm-mm.
We would, you know, like show them how to do spreadsheets.
Oh, boring.
Hey, I love spreadsheets. don't you be messing on my spreadsheets. All right, so I've got... Oh, actually, here, let's do this. So the weight... There we go. So all together, including the safety frame, if you go to the overhead, Alex, or the side view, there we go.
Ooh, 238.
So we're still under the 250.
Yeah.
Actually, even if I add the camera and the little platform adds like another 5 grams. So, nothing, I mean, yeah, we're still actually well underweight.
Nice. So you could still put landing gear, probably.
I could still, and I'm actually going to add landing gear because, as you mentioned, having it like this, where I'm landing on the battery, not necessarily the best thing to do. Okay, let's try to get this level. Here, can you hold that steady, and I'm going to connect the power.
Teamwork.
I kind of screwed this up here. Because, I mean, I never do that, but...
No, never. Right. Oh, my God. It's singing to us.
Welcome to OpenTX.
It's alive.
Oh, stop. No, go away. Stop. Oh, nope. Man. Bad switch.
I don't know.
It didn't balance. Hold on.
Oh, it didn't balance. Okay.
It did not like that.
So hold it, like, really steady?
Well, hold it like that. Hold it level. How about that?
I'll hold it as level as I possibly can. Is that level enough for you?
Now we're level. Oh, this is probably going to be really not good.
It's going to be flying at an angle. Here we go. Music engaged. We have liftoff. We have
liftoff. You know, the funny thing is this craft actually behaves a little more gently when you weigh it down.
It's so cute. It's got the little engines.
If we lit up those antennas, they would totally look like warp nacelles.
Right?
Okay, here's the big test. Let's bump it into something. Wait, hold on. What camera are you looking at right now? Oh, yeah, go to the wide, the front wide.
Are you going to bump the camera?
No, that's a bad idea. I thought better of it. What can I bump it into?
The brick wall, maybe?
Brick wall.
All right, and... Oh, it survived!
Oh, all right.
Oh, the prop guards worked. That was awesome.
I mean, that's all you want. You want to keep the accidental contacts from becoming a
especially if you're flying it inside. Yeah.
So it kind of works. I mean, I'd want to reinforce this before I make it a finished product.
Not bad, though. Do the chalkboard. Do the chalkboard.
Do the chalkboard. Oh. Okay, so maybe not into the laptop.
No, everything's fine.
But look, it's good. No busted props.
That's all you wanted.
Woohoo!
Not bad, Padre.
What?
Boom! Drop the mic. We're out.
I probably shouldn't have dropped the drone.
Oh, whoops.
That was probably a bad idea. Especially since I dropped it on the battery.
Oh!
Okay, I won't do that. So, folks, if you do have the FPV-150, if you've built it, if you have access to a 3D printer, all of these files will be available for you today. Download them, play with them, print them out, and show us your FPV style.
That's right. But they have to have a place to find that stuff.
They do. They do. And you know what? Luckily, we've made it easy because we've got a show notes page. You just go to twit.tv/KH. If you go there, you'll find not just all of our back episodes, but you'll also find notes on some of our episodes. We haven't been really good about it. I'm sorry, folks. I can build things. I'm not real good at writing with my words.
Words no good.
Yeah, but let's do that. Also, don't forget that you can get us in our Google Plus group. That's actually a fantastic place for you to express yourself if you're a maker or a DIYer. Where do they find that, Brian?
Well, if you type in, what is it,
twit.tv/TO or something.
Yeah, forget it. Just go to Google Plus.
Yeah.
Search for know-how. You'll see Padre's face. We'll get that fixed sooner or later.
Aww.
And, yeah, you can join the Google Plus group of over 10,000 now, right?
Yeah.
Post your projects, post questions, or, you know, you can ask us what you want to see on the show.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't like Google Plus or if you want to find us elsewhere on the socials, don't forget you can follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/PadreSJ to follow me.
And you can go to twitter.com/cranky_hippo to follow me.
And don't forget that you can also follow our director. He's a fantastic guy. I think his name is Oscar.
Hal Grumple.
Hal.
It's Hal Grumple,
Hal.
Right?
You can find him at ANELF3. That's ANELF3. Again, twitter.com slash an L3. Thanks to everyone who makes this show possible, to Lisa and Leo, to everyone here in the Brick House who puts up with our shenanigans. And until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballister.
And I'm Brian Burnett.
And now that you know how,
go fly it. Go crash it into your friends.